Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Now she's here, the bullet from Belmullet. She travelled from Mayo to the Middle East to teach, and then she returned there to an old passion that she'd begun in Mayo and started boxing. And now she is working her way up the world rankings less than a year after entering the ring as a professional. She's three fights under her belt. She is undefeated. Rachel Lally, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
You only flew in yesterday?
Yes.
And that's from Dubai.
I stopped off in Istanbul, so I had a couple of days there before I came back. Yeah.
But everyone is telling me they're going to Istanbul all of a sudden.
Yeah, a little bit of R&R before coming back to the homeland is needed.
You need to rest before you go back.
I needed some time on my own to decompress.
It's a whirlwind.
Absolutely.
Your teacher in Dubai, is that over? Are you still teaching?
I'm still teaching.
Are you?
Yeah, working full time.
Term is finished, I presume.
Term is finished, yes. Summer holidays.
Just about.
The teacher's favourite thing.
What do you teach over there?
I'm an English teacher.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long have you been doing that?
Oh, this is my eighth year, I believe.
Is it?
Yeah, graduated in 2017.
It's far too young to have done 8 years. Oh. And what age are you? Are they teenagers?
Yeah, secondary school. So it's a British curriculum school. One of the most reputable ones in the region. Yeah. So,
are they all Brits or is it international?
International, yeah.
But they use the British curriculum?
Yes.
That's funny, isn't
it? Yeah. So I taught in London actually before I moved to Dubai. So.
Oh, so you knew.
Well rehearsed in the curriculum,
good.
Yeah.
What's on their reading courses then? Do they have any Irish literature?
I slip in a bit of Heaney here and there, yeah, for sure.
Okay.
At any given opportunity, I bring in the Irish greats.
Fair play. That's exactly what we want to hear. It's roasting in Dubai all the time. We've been talking about the heat dome in Europe all during the week.
Absolutely. Well, they talk about European heat waves. That's like a good day in Dubai.
Are you serious?
Yeah, at the moment, it's like probably up in the 40s, 45, humidity level 60. Yeah, so it's like existing in a sauna. So, yeah.
Can you go outside at all?
Not really, unless you want to sweat profusely.
But you can kind of live in that place.
Well, everything is AC, so you do just exist kind of inside. But obviously, there's loads to do. But for me, once school was over, I was on the first flight out of there.
I suppose big oil countries are not going to care about leaving the AC on all day.
No.
but the rest of the year, though, because you're there all the time, is the winter time must be cold.
Yeah, winter time is gorgeous. Yeah, it's, you know, in the 20s and yeah, absolutely worth it.
It would feel hot for us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But it's manageable. You kind of obviously like it. You're there long enough.
Yeah, I'm there. This is my fourth year. So, yeah, I think you get used to it. And to be honest, I'm either working or training most of the time. So, yeah.
You never have time to go outside.
Unless I'm running.
And come here, are you hanging out with loads of Irish people there? Is that the community or you've got a mix of?
Yeah, I've got a mix of friends from all around the world. But there's a brilliant Irish community. In Dubai, there's actually the Dubai Irish Society. So they help out all entrepreneurs and even Irish athletes. They help kind of push our profile as well. So, yeah, like you're never too far from home, to be honest. Every second person in the school is an Irish teacher as well. So.
And does it feel like a really young city where things are happening?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think it's very inspiring. Everyone is kind of chasing a dream, whichever it may be. But people are very motivated to kind of be doing the best they can. But that can also come with like downsides too, like burnout and kind of feeling like you're chasing the unattainable at times.
Everyone's there to work like mad.
Yeah. And, you know, that can have an impact on, you know, the work-life balance and things like that. So it's brilliant, but, you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
And if there's green grass in Dubai.
Well, yeah, it's been watered 24/7 if there is real grass.
How did you get into boxing over there?
Well, I moved mid-COVID, February 2021. So I'd moved back from London 2019 pre-COVID and I had planned to move to Dubai, but then COVID hit. So I was staying in Belmullet for the year and I lived at my grandparents. So I was having a great time, actually. But I, you know, my sights were always set on kind of further afield. So I started work in February 2021. But at the time, I was very physically unfit. Not too Well, like mentally either. I think everyone coming out of COVID is kind of questioning like the direction of life. And I was like 25 at the time. So I was kind of...
It hit the young hardest.
Yeah. I think like I was in my mid 20s. So like the kind of early years of the 20s, like having fun. And then you're like, okay, well, what's my next steps? It kind of put a stall on that. But when I moved to Dubai, I was, you know, overweight. And I think the kind of lifestyle there, like eating out and, you know, the kind of socializing scene is, you know, massive there. So I think that also added to my kind of weight gain and feeling more mentally like off balance as well. So
didn't feel good about yourself.
No. And I just like I think it was like I made a New Year's resolution. It's like, OK, I'm going to go back to the gym, but just to work out. So I went to a club and just did. I just wanted to train for fitness. And one of the coaches spotted me and he's like, you've boxed before. And I was like, no.
You denied it initially,
yeah, because I just wanted to. I didn't want the pressure. I just wanted to train for fitness. But that same coach is my coach today. So
very good coach, honestly.
Yeah.
And spotted the talent.
Yeah.
So you were doing it for, what changed then? How did you finally go, oh, yes, I have the girl again?
Yeah, I think I really settled into like, I wanted to invest in myself because I felt like when I was training, I was happier and I could actually fit in more time with my friends and my social anxiety was coming down. And I thought like the most important thing is having this sport, what it did for me as a young person, it's going to do the same for me now. So I like made a promise to myself, train at least 4 times a week. And then I started doing some sparring in the club. And then I just thought, OK, my level is coming back up again. And other people around me were believing in me, but I was kind of still like... self-critical, I guess.
The Irish humility.
Oh, yeah.
Being hard on yourself.
Yeah.
The coach is a Moroccan.
Yeah.
We don't think of the Middle East as a bastion of female sports.
No, but it's up and it's definitely up and coming. Yeah.
And so it was a great place to train and go back into it.
Definitely.
When did you decide to go professional then?
So I had a couple of amateur bouts and... I trained to enter the UAE Nationals twice and then unfortunately there was no one in my weight category. So did the whole camp and you just enter with the hopes of having opponents because they opened the Nationals to the whole Gulf region. So you could have Bahrain, Saudi, etc. And when you train so much for a camp and then you're disappointed not having an opponent, I was kind of like hit a glass ceiling in the amateurs. Like, where do I go from here? And... luckily, the promoter of the show I've been fighting on invited me to a sparring session and seen some really good potential in me. So that's where I got offered the opportunity and I thought, why not?
And it's gone very well.
Yeah, brilliantly.
The weight division is because you're tall, aren't you, for a boxer?
Yeah, I'm nearly 6 foot, 5 foot 11. Yeah.
So does the weight division, is that a struggle for you?
Well, I think in my first fight, it was a struggle because I was still like maybe 7 or 8 kilos over the fight weight. Because although I was training all the time, I was still kind of having a life outside of that as well. But when you turn pro, like your focus is on not just losing the weight, but doing it sustainably and building muscle and being healthy. And, you know, that part of boxing can sometimes be difficult for women, especially body image and all of that. But I managed to train like really well and like lose it sustainably, you know, like crazy weight cuts the night before the fight. I see some of the guys doing that. I can't do that. And I'm currently fighting in the super middleweight. I dropped down division. It's a more competitive division with more girls and females there for fighting. So I started light heavy in my pro debut. And now I'm in the super middleweight.
And where are you ranking at the moment?
15th in the world as of yesterday.
Extraordinary.
A couple of weeks ago, I was 10th in the world, but things change. There's lots of fights happening, worldwide. So,
and it's
brilliant.
In professional, it's hard to get the, you want to get the challenger, don't you?
That's the thing.
Move up the rankings.
Exactly. So you have to fight someone who's higher in the rankings for your ranking to go up. And that was my goal in the last fight, but unfortunately she pulled out. So these things, you know, it's a number on a scale. I think the most important thing is how you perform.
A worldwide scale.
Yeah.
And for someone who didn't carry on the boxing all the way through, it's extraordinary, isn't it? You must be very proud of yourself.
I am. And sometimes I feel like I need to take a step back because I'm always on the go and I don't really realise kind of how much my life is changing. And I'm just proud of myself. And with the sport, you know, I couldn't ask for anything better, turning 30 and becoming a pro. So
extraordinary. So will things quieten down for you now over the summer? Are you going
absolutely not
back to Mayo?
No. I'm heading west later today, and then I plan to try and get around to get some sparring in all around Ireland.
The training just carries on and on.
Oh, well, it's one of those healthy addictions. It's part of my lifestyle now. It's not just for training camps. And I'm hoping to get some sparring in here. There's brilliant female boxers in the amateurs and in the pro rankings here in Ireland. So I'd love to meet up with them and get some training in. I'm also planning to go to the UK in a couple of weeks to get into some gyms there as well.
This is your holiday from teaching.
Yeah.
And it's incredible that as a pro boxer, you've managed to keep the teaching going. That must be an intense regime.
It is very intense. The school I'm working in is outstanding. It's one of the best in the region. So you can imagine the expectations from the teachers are incredibly high as well. They've been really supportive of me because they're a massive sport in school. Rugby is like the main sport for them. But it is very demanding. Like the workday starts at 7 and most evenings I don't get in till maybe 4:30 or 5. And then straight to training.
Off.
Twice a day, so up at 4 in the morning, doing some training in the morning and then evening time as well. So
it's two full-time jobs.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
By the way, do they play rugby in air-conditioned?
No, we actually have real grass football pitch.
Really?
Yeah.
In the heat?
Yeah. The kids that grew up in the region, they are not affected by the heat whatsoever.
It's normal to them.
Playtime, lunchtime, they're out playing football. And they just... acclimatise, I suppose.
Factor 1000. I presume the plan is to go fully professional and full-time professional boxer.
Yeah, that would be the ideal plan. And I think in both jobs that I'm doing, I'm helping people, and that's like the most important thing for me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if the right opportunities come forward, then that would absolutely allow me to go into the sport full time. And, you know, I think the more challenging fights you take on, it becomes more difficult to manage both. To be realistic, like you need to be resting, like there's training. But then if you're not resting, you're not recovering either. So, look, I'm eyes are forward and I'm, you know, making some plans to continue climbing the ranks in the boxing. And if the right opportunities come up that would allow me to do it full time, I would, yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. I notice people in boxing, they're always a people person in their personality and character.
Yeah.
It's because of the intimate relationships with the coach and everybody else.
Yeah, I think it's, as a sport, it's incredibly humbling because in the boxing gym, it doesn't matter what level you're at. Like when you come in the doors of a boxing gym, everyone is treated the same.
Yeah.
And there's no ego. There's no you know, kind of I'm better than you. And it's kind of that community of everyone helping each other out. And and I think you spend a lot of time on your own too in boxing. So when you have those connections with your team, with your coaches, they are very meaningful. And the level of respect amongst fighters as well just creates that like community.
When did you first go into, was the Golden Gloves Boxing Club in Belmullet?
Yes. Well, my first memory of boxing was my dad used to get the old camera recorder and he used to record the tournaments.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember I was probably only like 8 or 9 and watching the tapes back, and just the atmosphere at the tournaments was just something that really kind of grabbed me. And I was always kind of a jack of all trades, like horse riding, football, basketball. I was dipping in and out of everything always. My poor mother never got any rest bringing me here, there and everywhere. But I'd say, I think I was about 15 or 16. And it was 2010, 2011, when I first stepped into the club. And at that time, there was a great hype around female boxing because it was the London prep for the London
Katie
Olympics.
Taylor,
Katie Taylor, flying the flag for female athletes, not just in boxing. So
you were one of the young girls inspired.
I think one of five girls in the club, one of three at the beginning, and then a couple of more started coming in, because it was that everyone knows like boxing was reserved for, you know, males only. But the minute I stepped through the club, like my coaches were...
The doors open.
Yeah, the doors are open. And as long as you work hard, you get the same respect, time and dedication as any of the other fighters in there.
And boxing really helped you, didn't it? Because you had a tough summer as a teenager.
Yeah, definitely. Unfortunately, at the time, there was a, you know, teenage mental health was at a crisis, probably all around the country. And I'd lost a few friends to suicide. At that time, you know, resources were very limited for young people to have spaces to speak out. And I don't think even in schools they were... the teachers or adults were provided with the training either to help the young people. Mm. So everyone was kind of stuck in a rut of like a lack of communication or dialogue around the importance of talking about mental health.
We're more fluent now, aren't we?
Absolutely, absolutely.
What was that like to go through as a teenage girl?
Incredibly difficult. I think when I started training, it just gave me that purpose back again, because... you know, when you're stuck in that kind of place of not knowing where you belong, who you can talk to, and when you can kind of rely with boxing, you can rely on your like your own resilience. So I think that's like what really made me connect with the sport.
It gave you strength.
Yeah, definitely.
It's fascinating that you return to that again, don't you? As you just told us, as a slightly older, slightly young woman.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was both kind of the cycles of the experiences were pretty similar. The return back to the sport for the same kind of reasons, like around mental health. So
you remember the healing.
Yeah, 100%. Yep.
Now, as a professional, of course, you do need the snazzy name, which you've come up with. The Bullet from Belmullet.
Yeah.
It has a nice ring to it.
It does indeed.
Where
proud
does that
of
come
my roots.
From?
Well, there was a story, I don't know if it's a folklore story or a real one, of a man who's quite famous in the pubs in London from Belmullet. And he used to say, "I'm the Bullet from Belmullet." So, and I love a bit of alliteration as well as an English teacher. So. I think it has a nice ring to it for a boxer.
And it rings true because I didn't even notice you coming into the studio. You come in so quickly. I just glanced out for a second. You were just there. So it's like, wow, living up to the name or what? But it's a great sport that you absolutely love, and it can bring you all around the world, can't it?
100%. Yeah. Like I've had opportunities come up with perhaps going to Thailand. I would love to come back to fight on home soil. That's something that's kind
That'd
of in the books for, you know, maybe by the end of this year, or if not early next year.
Oh, really? And that would be for rankings for climbing again, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I think also to fight with your people watching you. I think that's one thing I really missed. You know, I have like brilliant friends and, you know, even people from my own hometown coming to watch me, and my sponsors that are, you know, based in Mayo as well. Like they're from Mayo and they've come out to watch me too. But I think having your own family and your people there, like that's something I'd love to bring home.
Have you seen your family lately, by the way?
I haven't been home since last August. So
go away.
Since I turned pro, I haven't seen anybody. Yeah.
Oh, so this is a big major homecoming for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
that'll be this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm picking up the car from the airport after this and heading west, yeah.
And who are you going to be meeting?
Well, everybody, but I think my first stop is down to my granddad, Sean Dixon.
Is that right?
Yeah. Always my first port of call.
And why is that?
Oh, he's just the best. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I'm emotional.
that's lovely to see, because you don't associate young people having such strong relationships with their grandparents.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's the most important. Yeah. Most
Sean
important
had
thing.
a big birthday recently.
Yeah. The big 89 years old.
Really?
Yeah. Just a couple of days before my last fight, actually. Yeah. And he's great. He's farming full time and he's just, yeah, absolutely fantastic.
Oh, there's power in the bloodline.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
He's very proud of you because I believe he takes cuttings and things, doesn't he?
Yeah, my mum sent me a picture of him cutting out the the article that was in the Irish Times, putting it up on the fridge. So, you know, it's just a blessing to be able to bring, like, you know, good news back home.
Yeah. You're dead right.
Yeah.
Good news anywhere, we'll cling
yeah,
to.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So that'll be the first into Sean for yeah. a cup of tea in
oh,
the chat.
Maybe a hot one.
Don't tell the coach.
No.
And then off to work then, sparring and so on.
Yes, yeah, I just, you know, get to see everyone in Belmullet and maybe take one or two days rest. But to be honest, I can't wait to go out for a run in the fresh air. The wild Atlantic
yes,
way, I'm coming, yeah.
Bob is on already saying, Rachel's a joy, making us all proud. Best of luck to her. That's generally countrywide, but specifically in Mayo. Mayo might have a world champion boxer before they win Sam Maguire. Someone's sticking the oar there.
Probably
but
more likely.
In a nice way. I bet nobody messes in her classes.
No, absolutely not. Maybe when my back is turned, I see a few like shadow boxing moves, but...
They know what you
did.
Oh, what you
yeah, they love it. They love it. Very like, good. We were on Monday, so the fight was Saturday. Sunday recovery, back to school on Monday. And it was like the last week, you know, of the summer holidays. I was like, right, very important work to do today, guys. We've got to really analyse this this piece of text. And they were like, oh no, please, come on, it's a summer week. And I was like, okay, we're going to watch my fight and you have to analyse you have to analyse that, okay? We're not looking at Shakespeare today. So watching the fight and, you know, they love it and they love seeing, like, I love, like, getting my my fight gear custom made. So they're always, like, ranking my outfits.
Oh, is that
from,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then compulsory Heaney poetry.
Yeah, yeah.
Rachel Lally, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much.
We won't know he was Rachel Lally. Everyone's going, oh yeah, the bullet from Belmullet. I heard her on this morning. The best of luck.
Thank
We're
you so much.
Absolutely rooting for you. And thanks a million. And safe home to Belmullet.
Yes, thank
thanks
you.
So much. Bye-bye.
Email oliver@rte.ie.